ask you to stand one more time. Amen. One more time. From 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we," say we, "should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know," say we know. I tell you, if you don't know, you're in trouble. You have to know. You have to know this thing, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, let it edify, let it find good soil. We thank you that you are our Father. You have given us the right to call you Abba. And we thank you right now for your word. Let it find a place of edification in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to someone and say, "I'm glad I'm here." You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is, we read the Bible so many times, and sometimes the power of the words go past us. It doesn't really hit us what the word is really saying to us. I would like you to just slow down just a little bit today and take time to really chew on every word in this scripture. It says, "Behold," that means take account, look, pay attention. "What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we," I know that I said in Sunday school, I know me, I know how terrible I am. You just see an image, but I know how no good I am. I know how terrible I really am. And each of you know your own faults. You know your own failures. And the astonishing thing is that God could look at us and say that we could become the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God by faith. If you know, the Bible says right now, but you haven't seen the fulfillment of it. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is just the deposit. You know, when you're going to buy a house, you put down a deposit. You don't have the house yet, but you've signed the contract. If you've been filled with the Spirit, been baptized in his name, and spoken in tongues, you have signed the contract. You are going to be moving in your mansion soon. Amen. Jesus said in John 14:6, "Don't let your heart be troubled, because I'm going away to prepare somewhere for you." Hallelujah. I don't know where you're living now. Maybe it's a dump. Maybe it's no good. Maybe it's got roaches. I don't know. I don't want to gross you out, but I have got a mansion. I'm going somewhere. I know where I'm going. You know why? The Father loves me. Amen. The Father loves me. Tell your neighbor, the Father loves me. Amen. You may have grown up not knowing your earthly father, but I'm telling you that the Bible says that you have been given the spirit of adoption, to wit that you have the right to call him Father. Amen. Those in Sunday school, you're just going to hear it again. Because Father means relationship. As I said in Sunday school, you can call someone by their name, but you don't know what that means. You don't know if you're related to them. But when you say dad, when you say father, when you say daddy, you know, my daughter has a way of getting into me. When the text starts off daddy, when the text starts off daddy, I almost don't have to read the rest of it. I almost don't have to read the rest of it. I know what's coming, because as soon as she says daddy, and Brother Chris, he's got a little daughter now, and he knows that when she does like this, there's only one response. You have to pick her up. You have to pick her up. When we to our Heavenly Father, do you know what? He will pick you up. He will lift you up. He will take you through. When you have surrendered, when you have lifted your hands in surrender, he says, "Behold," he's saying, pay attention. Don't let this verse just go over your head. "Behold," look at it. "What manner of love," he's saying, "this is astounding, that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we," me, no good me. I know you look at me as pastor, but I know how I am. I know where I was. I know what God has done. I know his mercy. I know his grace, that me, upon me, should be called the sons of God. See, the world doesn't know that. They don't know you. When you walk out there, you're not anybody famous. You're not in any celebrity thing. The world does not know us. Why? Because they didn't know him. Hallelujah. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear. I'm looking for that appearance. I'm looking for that day when I get transformed, when this old father becomes a young father again. Amen. My six-pack is well hidden. You can't see it yet. But one day it's going to appear, maybe. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. That's my hope. That's my desire. I want him to just pick me up. Sometimes the pressure of life is just so fierce, so hard. You just want to, you wake up in the morning, you just want to pull the cover back and get into a fetal position. It's too early. The clock went off too early. It can't be 6 o'clock yet. I'm telling you, God just wants nothing more than to give you a hug. He's just looking for you to come running to him, to lift up your arms in surrender, and he will not let you go. Hallelujah. I said in Sunday school in Matthew 18, Jesus said, listen, you better leave my little ones alone. Don't touch them, because their angels always behold the face of my Father. You have a guardian that is appointed to look after you. If you will let them, if you will come running to the Father, he is willing, able to take you into his arms and to lift you up. Hallelujah. In Exodus 23:20, in the Old Testament, under the law, the angel wasn't much comfort. It says, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. That's Exodus 23:20. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. In the Old Testament, under the law, it was not like that. You couldn't get away with anything. I wouldn't have wanted to live under the law. I am so grateful that God sent his son, made in the fashion of a woman, hallelujah, that could come and redeem us and bring us to grace, hallelujah. See, under the law, the angel was not going to be very forgiving. You did anything wrong, you were going to be in big trouble. Verse 21 says, beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. I am so glad that that Jesus said to Peter that you got to forgive 70 times 7. That's 490 times a day. That would wear me out. But God is so patient. He is so loving. He is so caring. He is so merciful. He is so gracious. That's what my Father is. You know, when I messed up, I remember one time, it was actually when I was just dating Sister Yvonne, and I borrowed my dad's car. And he had a very nice car. And I picked her up from her house, and I was supposed to take his car back and pick him up from work. And wouldn't you know it, there was a rainstorm. And that back then we had cassette players. You probably don't know what that is, but they had cassette players. And I just at the moment I looked down to put the cassette in, three cars ahead, this little boy ran into the road. And so the first car stopped, the second car stopped, and of course I did not stop. And I had an accident, and I messed up my dad's car. You know, it's something when you have to go face Father. So I was supposed to pick him up. The car was still drivable, but and I've told some of you the story. So I parked the car well away from where I was going to pick him up. So I went to the corner, and he's walking up, and he sees me, and he sees no car. He sees no car. He sees me. And I said, well, Dad, I had a little accident. Little accident. So he says, where's the car? I said, well, it's this way. Come around the corner. But you know, my earthly father had mercy upon me. My earthly father had mercy upon me. I want to tell you today that your heavenly father loves you even more. You may have crashed the car. You may have messed up. But he's calling you. He is still your father. If you will just lift your arms and give him surrender, he is waiting right now to just pick you up. That's all he wants. Do you understand that he died on a cross just so that he could love you directly? So that it's not an angel that's coming to you. It's God himself. He says, I have lost none of them save for the son of perdition. If we will just surrender our hands and our heart to God. See, in the Old Testament, it said the angel could not give mercy. He was not forgiving. All he could do was judgment. But God said, listen, I don't want that kind of ministry. That's not the ministry we are. In Job chapter 4, verse 18, he speaks about the angels and he said, behold, He put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. You know why? They could not give an image of love. They were just like the policeman. The policeman is not your father. No, when he stops you, he's not your father. He is going to just look at your license. He's going to look up your warrants, and he's going to give you a ticket. But you know, if the policeman just happened to be my dad, I might get off with just a warning. He may say, son, you know you were speeding. And he may just give, you see, our Heavenly Father is like that. He's going to give you a warning. He's going to try and preserve your life. He's going to try and guide you if you will listen. See, even the angels, it says in Job chapter 4:18, he said he charged his angels with folly. You know why? They could not present an image of love. So in Ezekiel, it said he searched for a man to fill the gap, and he found none. So he had to come himself. Hallelujah. He had to come himself. Do you understand that most of us are not worthy of this Father's love? In Luke chapter 7, verse 37, it tells the story of the woman who came in with the alabaster jar. And she knew what people thought of her. She wasn't trying to hide anything. Everybody knew who she was. But because of her situation, because of the fact that she loved the Father so much, and said it, Luke, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. The Bible doesn't even mince words. It doesn't say she was anything else but a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet, verse 38, behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet. How do you get the Father's love? It's when you bring a broken and a contrite heart. When you truly surrender, then you will get the Father's attention. There is something so piercing, so unignorable about a baby's cry. You can't ignore it. It's tuned into some frequency in your brain. When you hear like a six-month-old or a three-month-old baby's cry, you got to do something about it. When we get to be a little one, be converted and become as a little child, and we cry out to God with an honest and a broken heart, he will not ignore you. He will come and pick you up. He will come and deliver you. He has got a plan for your life. But it's up to us to trust the Father's love. And she stood in verse 38, at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. The key to getting the Father's love is not just saying, I'm sorry. See, my daughter knows how to, she starts off, Daddy. Daddy, could you do me a little favor? Or she'll just say, can you buy me lunch? Can you? Called it, she's in Indianapolis, and she'll call up and ask me to order her lunch. And that's fine. You know, you can call up your daddy and ask him to order you lunch. When you have the right approach, when you bring a broken and a contrite heart, the Bible says he will in no way despise. When you look through the New Testament, and if you were to do a search of the word compassion, you would find it over and over again. In Matthew 20:34, it said Jesus had compassion on them. You look in Mark 1:41, and it says Jesus was moved with compassion. And you can look through the New Testament, and you'll see the difference between the Old Testament and the angel. The angel only had judgment. Thou shalt not, or thou shalt. And if you didn't do it, it was going to be stones or some other deadly judgment. But in Jesus, when you call upon his name, it says he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. Tell your neighbor, he's moved with compassion. When you bring us a broken, a surrendered heart to God, he will pick you up. He has picked me up so many times. He has picked me up so many times. He's given me a spiritual hug so many times. He has comforted me so many times. Because the Bible said that he can be moved. We have a high priest that can be moved, who was in all points tempted such as we are, but yet without sin. You see, God wants in his plan to reveal his glory in us. We were created to be his masterpiece, to be his crowning jewel of his creation. In Romans chapter 8:18, it says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Where? In us. Now that's astonishing. That's amazing. That God's glory was made to reside and be in you and the person beside you and the person behind you and the person in front of you. What manner of love hath the Father that God would give us this hope, this blessed presentation, so to speak, that he wants his glory to reside in us. That's what astonishes me about that very first verse. 1 Peter 4:13 says, but rejoice. Why? Because inasmuch as thou art partakers of his suffering. That's why you got to rejoice. You're going through some things right now. The Bible tells us to rejoice about it, because if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If there's no one suffering, let me know. Everyone got just a peaceful life? You got nothing going on? Everything's just easy street? Any hands up on that? Or are you suffering? Amen. I've got some suffering. Don't look at me and think I don't have suffering. I got some suffering. If you've got suffering, raise your hands. Because this promise is for you. But rejoice. Can you rejoice? Can you turn that? Can you rejoice? Because if you can rejoice, inasmuch, he's saying you are part of. You know the reason why you're suffering? Because Satan hates you. Satan hates you. About 3-4 weeks ago, we had that one of those 80 degree Sundays, and I turned it all to heat. And I was wondering why there was no air coming out of there. So I called our air conditioning guy, and he came and he sent me a picture. And there's about 2 feet of copper pipe missing. And he said, yeah, they got about $1.50 for that. $1.50 for that. You know, that was nothing but the devil. That's the devil. That is just pure devil. It wasn't even worth their time to cut that pipe. But you know, it wasn't aimed at us. It was aimed at God. So it's his church. He's going to take care of it. Rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you could stand with me, amen. If you remember nothing about this Father's Day, remember this. What manner of love that the Father has bestowed, that we, say we, should be called the sons of God. The Bible says that's amazing. Satan is amazed at that. The angels are amazed at that. They can't believe it. That we, human beings, that God did all of this for us. All of his creation was for us. Behold, 1 John 3:1. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That astonishes me. That really astonishes me, because I know how I am. I am not worthy. None of us are worthy. As I said in Sunday school, God doesn't have to answer the charge, why do bad things happen to good people? Because there are no good people. Don't look at me like that. That's what the Bible says. Someone came to Jesus and called him good master. Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There is none good. Let's say it together. None good?
None good.
But God.
But God.
That's why, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we, the none good, should be called the sons of God. The problem is we do not appreciate or understand that this invisible God who we haven't seen, cannot touch, could truly love us. That's the hurdle that you have to get over in your mind. That despite who you are, despite knowing who you are. See, it's easy to fool someone with an image. It's easy to love an image. But God is not loving your image. He's loving you. That's who he's loving. Right where you are, right now, he knows exactly who you are, but he still loves you. I've often said, you know, for newborn babies, when do the mother start loving the baby? And, you know, I've said the joke, you know, once they graduate high school and become a doctor and buy them a house. But that's not the truth. A good mother and father loves the baby just because it's born. Just because it's born. Just because of relationship. Just because it's their child. Do you understand God loves you not because of what you can do, not because of what you have done, not because of who you are, but because you're his child. And if we could understand that, if we could get what John is saying, you know, John understood this. Of all the disciples, he understood God's love. You know why? He called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. He styled himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And the truth is, Jesus loved the other disciples, but they didn't realize it. So he wrote his own book, and in his book of John, he called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. He knew that God loved him. Peter relied upon his love. He said, listen, I love you so much, I'm going to die for you. But when push came to shove, he wasn't willing to die for him. But God's love is so strong that he, Jesus, was willing to die, not just for Peter, not just for John, but for all of us. Meditate upon this verse this week. What astounding it is, how astounding it is that God, the Father, hath bestowed his love upon me, upon you, upon your neighbor, that we should be called. If we could really appreciate that, if we could really get to the place of not just appreciating it, but actually believing it's possible, that we, me, you, should be called the sons of God. That's why it says the world knoweth us not. Why? Because it didn't know who he was. He goes on to say, beloved, want to give you a little revelation. Right now, not in the future, not when you become perfect, not when you become good, but right now you are. You are. A baby is born with the potential, but right then they belong to the parents. They're the child of the parent. Before they become a doctor, the president, they're already a son or a daughter just because they were born. If you today will run to your Father, hold up your hand in surrender. He will pick you up. He has picked me up. He has delivered me. He has healed me. He's been so good to me. I don't deserve it. What manner of love? How astounding the love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. As we honor our fathers today, most of all, we honor our Heavenly Father. And as we close this service, I open the altar for prayer. And if you come to the altar, remember who you are raising your hand to. Not me, but to the one who can actually pick you up. Book of Jude, who is able to keep us from falling. The Father who is able to present us faultless before the presence of his glory. The only one that can do that. The only one that can change your life. That can make us whole. That truly can comfort us in our despair, if we believe it. I'm going to close this service, but as I always say, never close God's presence. If you could bow your heads with me, and I'm asking you, church, wherever you are, to pray with me and just meditate upon this verse. Think about it. What manner of love the Father hath that we should be called, hallelujah, his children. Father, we thank you right now that you have given us the right to call you Abba, to call you by relationship. Lord, that we are your children, not because of what we can do, not because of anything other than we are your children. Lord, we ask you right now to let our faith rise, to stand upon this promise, to stand upon this word, to take you at your word, to believe everything that you have said. Oh God, that we may be able to receive your love, receive your blessing, receive our healing, receive salvation, receive your grace. We thank you right now, Lord, and we believe your word in the name of Jesus. Church, if you could pray with me as I lay hands on those at the altar, and if you could just thank God for his mercy and his grace.